The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you to the second half of the program, and it's been a good one so far. Christine Brennan earlier, and you heard from Mike Bianchi, but this next story is really interesting. I tried to allude to it earlier, and I don't think I can do justice to what our next guest can. He is Josh Kendall, who's covered South Carolina for many, many years for both the local paper and now The Athletic. And the story is not simple, but simply that a couple of years ago, South Carolina conducted a rather long search for a replacement to the very respected Harris Pastides, who not only was the president at USC, but one of the more respected people in the SEC and around intercollegiate athletics. If I remember correctly, and I know Josh can help me with this, there were recommendations made. The school, the people in charge did not accept them, and they ended up hiring a man named Bob Caslin, who was the superintendent at West Point, a lieutenant general. Lieutenant general in the Army. And Josh, I don't know if I've gotten the story right so far, but what happens next is quite a yarn. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's not simple to sum up. Bob Caslin arrived, in a messy and controversial way. And he has carried that theme on consistently for 2 years. I mean, it has been, the process that got him hired also got the University of South Carolina's accreditation reviewed by the overseeing body that does such things. So that's never a good sign. It was an 11-9 vote by the Board of Trustees, so it was narrow, and it's kind of been contentious ever since. And the president has not helped himself in the meantime. I mean, where we are now is kind of the culmination. I mean, he went immediately on a statewide media tour after getting the job, and it back-to-back stops with local with in-state newspapers. Had to afterward backtrack and withdraw himself from messy situations. In regard to Will Muschamp,
yeah, didn't he insinuate that he was trying to find a buyout for Muschamp or something?
Well, in one conversation, he said that Ray Tanner had discussions with Florida State, which at that point had just bought out, I think, $17 million for Willie Taggart, with the assumption being Ray Tanner was having those conversations to figure out how do you get rid of an expensive football coach. After that, understandably, blew up on social media. Later that night, the president released a statement saying, no, those conversations did not happen. That was at the Florence newspaper. At the Greenville newspaper, there was a similar misunderstanding, however we want to do it. So, that did not endear him, I don't think, to Will Muschamp any. Didn't make Will Muschamp's job any easier. And started his sort of tenure in athletics off poorly. Since then, we have seen Darla Moore, a woman who has given this university $75 million, send a scathing letter in which she said that, the supporting the University of South Carolina was the biggest regret of her life because the university did not immediately recognize and send condolences after the death of her mother, an oversight that many people laid at the feet of Caslin, and Caslin apologized for. Now we are here with the commencement speech, where first he got negative attention because he referred to alumni as University of California alumni, and then more importantly, more problematically, part of the speech was plagiarized, something that he has acknowledged while saying that he meant to attribute, he knew the remarks were not his, and he meant to attribute them and simply overlooked that. Now we're at the point where he has offered a verbal resignation. It has not been accepted, but things are still up in the air.
Yeah, and as you know, Josh, the passage that he plagiarized, it wasn't some innocuous passage that a simple mistake could have been made. He plagiarized. Here he is, an Army man, an admiral, the man who led the Osama bin Laden successful assault in 2011, and who gave this speech at the University of Texas in 2014. And if you Google best commencement speeches of all time, this one's going to come up on almost every find. It's that famous.
At the top of the list, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard Nick Saban quote correctly the speech. I've heard other leaders, as you know. So, and by the way, if this was the only part of the story that was interesting, it would be one thing. But there's another part of it, I haven't heard anything today because it may already be a moot point. But the provost and the man who presumably was up for this job and didn't get it took the head position, the presidency at LSU the other day. So what can you tell us about that?
Well, William Tate was basically the head coach in waiting on the academic side here. He was, I think everybody believed, and they might have even said, he's the guy who will take over when Kaslan eventually is gone. He got a lot, you know, we'll circle this back around to Will Muschamp again in that situation at Texas. He got tired of waiting, got a better offer, and this week accepted the job at LSU. There has certainly been scuttlebutt in Columbia today that, hey, if we can get this Kaslan thing wrapped up nice and tidy and quick, maybe we can get to Bill Tate's house before the moving trucks do and see what we've got there. At this point in the day, and that's really where we are at this story, you know, check back sort of every hour of the day, you know, that would be a hard sell. They would have to make some substantive and quick decisions. And I'm not sure that, you know, that this whole thing has been so messy. At this point, I don't expect it to be messy and to be quick and efficient. So I would anticipate that William Tate will still be the next president at LSU, but who knows?
This is always a tough question because we have had a hard time figuring out who's in charge at LSU, as we all know. Same question: who's in charge in Columbia?
Well, I mean, I think that's a good question, and it depends on who you ask. I think from a Gamecock fan's perspective, they think too many people. There is a history with this program, and we've seen it play out very much with this situation, that everybody, you know, there are three essential bodies in this conversation: the athletic department, the board of trustees, and the state house. And they are separated. I mean, they are a little bit more than a literal stone's throw apart, but they're right on top of each other geographically and in every other way. The people on the board, many people on the board of trustees will tell you the state house needs to let us run our business. You know, our job is to run this university. Their job is to, you know, do their job. Many people in the state house are very, very quick to want to do the board of trustees' jobs. The president's office, you know, I think at times has inserted itself in problematic ways with the athletic department. You mentioned Harris Pastides. He was pretty universally praised by the athletic department people for not doing that, for being the department's biggest cheerleader without attempting to be its biggest decision maker. Bob Kaslan arrived with a very different approach. I mean, I think he was clear from the beginning. This guy's a former West Point football player. Athletics are very important to him. He hired Jeff Monken at Army. That was a good hire. But he was very clear. He was going to be involved in athletics. He made the final call to fire Will Muschamp. I believe he made the final call to hire Shane Beamer. He immediately offered ice cream Sunday socials to any athletic team on campus that beats Clemson every year. So it's important to him, and that's great if it's going well. But, you know, we're stubbing a lot of toes, running out of toes to stub at this point.
So what does it look like right now? Does he survive or not?
I mean, I think you're at a coin toss. My gut and reading the tea leaves would be that this is the beginning of the end and not the end, to some degree, because the people who will make that decision, ostensibly, the Board of Trustees, are tied to Bob Kaslan in a way because of the way he was hired. because of how messy that was. So if you now immediately turn around and get rid of somebody in this sort of messy and embarrassing fashion, boy, you get a lot of splashback on yourself. So I think that there's a way where behind the scenes people start figuring out how to extract everybody. And we don't necessarily see that extraction materialize for another couple of months. But I don't know how it's functional going forward under the current situation in the long term.
What a job covering that university. It's I mean, this is just the kind of story, Josh, that if you had said, what would be my lead story on May 12th, I don't think you could have come up with this one.
Oh, I don't know, Paul. I've been in Columbia a while. I might have pegged this one. This might have been exactly the one
right.
I circled. And that's part of the frustration for Gamecock fans, I think, and part of the reason that they would say, and they might not be wrong, that this university has had a problem sustaining success.
Yeah. Well, the last time I saw President Pistidis, he was heading toward Europe. Could they talk him into maybe coming back for a year or two?
Last time I saw him was about 5 weeks ago. He was at Augusta National, and he didn't want any part of it. Based on our conversation, I think he was just fine.
Yeah, I've seen that movie before. It's in fact, Auburn's president right now, I think, came back after his replacement gave Gus Malzahn a long-term extension.
No,
it's usually tied to football somehow, isn't it?
To ride in to try to Bill Snyder style to try to resurrect the glory days.
You got it. Hey, Josh, get back to watching the tea leaves. We appreciate your time very much.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
You got it. And we will good stuff there from Josh. We will talk about the other side of that. What's happening in Baton Rouge with Andrea Gallo, who has been covering the mess down there for some time, including not the mess, the hiring of the provost from South Carolina was considered the best news in a long time. We'll take a break. Your phone calls continue at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. And the phone number is 855-242-7285. And good news for all of you people on gas lines right now. And I drove past two different gas stations today, and I actually made a left turn and was trying to get out of Jordan-Hare Stadium, but they just announced that the pipeline has restarted operations as of 19 minutes ago. So if you're If you've got an hour and a half wait in a gas line in North Carolina or South Carolina, I think they just said 70% of the gas stations are out of gas in Charlotte, North Carolina. The state is almost more than half empty. South Carolina, I know Georgia has been hit hard. You might just go home and try this weekend. I think you're going to be okay. Let's get back to the calls. And Frederick is up next. Go right ahead, Frederick.
Yes, Paul, how are you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you for the call.
Yes, this is my second time calling. I'm the one that called you, I think, a month ago and told you that in the morning time, I listen to Steve Harvey Morning Show. And in the afternoon, leaving work, I listen to the Paul.
Wow, I tell you what, I can't tell you what that meant because Steve Harvey is the legend of all legends.
Yes, he is. You know, I have two things to tell you, though. But first of all, the last time I called, I was asking you about any pro players that went to Trevor G. Brown High School in Phoenix, Arizona. And I did my research, and I found out, yes. Have you remember a player named John Allen Patterson?
Vaguely. Tell me more.
Okay. He's the guy, it says here that he has the dubious, I guess, he's the one that hit a foul ball, okay? Let me see if I can find it again right here. He hit a foul ball at an exhibition game against the Anaheim Angels, fouling a pitch into the Angels dugout and hitting Matt Kalu, K-E-O-U-G-H, in the right temple, nearly killing him, ending Matt's playing career.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you remember that pitch at all? Or
I do, now that you mention it. That is incredible.
That's him from Trevor G. Brown. And also, what he did was he made his big league debate in 92. He appeared as a pitch in the game as a pitch runner for Robbie Thompson.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And what he did is there was a he hit the first home run. The guy that was pitching hadn't had a home run in 2 years. Yeah. But
that's quite a story.
My thing is, like, listen, I listen to you all the time going home, man, and I have to commend you. You hear so many. I thought mine was crazy about my high school, but then hear the one about the Jesus thing and who tells a lie. And I'm like, wow.
Confucius, Muhammad,
patient,
Gandhi.
You know, it made me laugh. I'm like, now, how does Paul handle that one?
You know, I tell you what, Frederick, I almost answered. And can you imagine if I'd gotten the wrong answer?
I know. Right. It's like, that's like a no-win situation.
I know for a fact they were all sinners, but I didn't want to send the guy into next week.
Thank you. And listen, how you feel, like, thankfully, we're going to the, we have a break.
Yeah, that was, I really applaud the guy because he was a science teacher. And I say this only to you. Thank goodness I was not in his science class. Can you imagine that guy teaching you about the birds and the bees?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, well. and the stork that delivers the babies, really.
Yeah, well, he probably, I will tell you, you may have missed it, but he and I had a couple of mind-numbing conversations early in COVID that nearly, even though it was the only story that we were talking about or anyone was talking about, it nearly cost me... He nearly told me not to ever talk about it again.
Yeah, he's like, that's going viral. But listen, I'm going to let you go, though. But this is my second call, and I'm in Tony, Alabama, Roll Tide. But I love sports. I love my Tide team and my Dallas Cowboys. But I've learned so much about sports from you, and I truly appreciate that. Tomorrow is my birthday, and I'll be 58 years old, man.
Frederick, you're still young. You're still a young man.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's right.
Hey, I can tell you what, when I hit 58 30 years ago, I knew that the best was yet to come.
Yes. Hey, I would tell him, I'm in my prime. I'm in my prime right now. Paul, thank you for taking my call, man. And you stay with your patience, man. You are so patient with them for the calls that are simply ludicrous.
Hey, Frederick, think about this. You are 20 years younger than the President of the United States.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure what that means. I'm just stating a fact.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, happy birthday, my friend. Great to hear from you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. You have a good day, man.
You too. Really cool. Let's check out Jason, who is in Athens, Georgia. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
We are doing really well.
As usual. So, super excited about the whole Tim Tebow coming to the Jaguars. I guess, you know, he has to make the roster or whatever. But, of course, you know, people are doubting him as usual. But I think it's a great idea, even if he really isn't a factor on the team as a player. You got to think about it. Look at that quarterback room. There's no one else on that quarterback. There's no one else on that roster that's won a playoff game as a quarterback. Tim Tebow's done that. So that's one thing. Two, he won a national championship just like Trevor Lawrence. So I think they can connect with that, both winners. And also, too, you know, Tebow's just a great morale for the team. You know, he's a leader. And, you know, I think he could definitely help Trevor in the quarterback room. I mean, you know, he proved well with the Broncos. And also, too, he's a strong Christian just like Trevor. They both, you know, are kind of, you know, were faces of college football at some point. So I think they would get along together, and he could really mentor Trevor into being a great professional. And obviously him and Urban working together, he can tell Trevor what it's like to be a quarterback under Urban Meyer. And I really think that could help Trevor, you know, be more comfortable in his first season. So I was wondering what you think about that, you know, just have him on the roster.
I have hoped for a long time that he would find a path back to football, and I never was sold on the baseball career. Frankly, I just think it was too much to overcome, and you know, he showed promise, but that was never going to happen, ever. I mean, yeah, he hit a couple of home runs, but because he has power. But football to me was something that I think he's always chased. I happened to be with him a lot, but I was with him just days after he was cut by the Philadelphia Eagles, and a lot of people thought he was going to make that team when Chip Kelly was there, and you know, he just shook it off. I mean, he never avoided the question, never avoided the subject, but you could tell deep down that there was an unfulfilled desire somewhere that he was going to try, and he tried it with baseball, but that was the wrong sport. I wish he had tried it a couple of years earlier with football, but I think he's settled down now. He was married a year ago, and so, you know, plus the pandemic, you have a lot of time to sit around like we all have, talk about things that normally you wouldn't go into as much detail. And I think and then when Urban showed up there, I think it was obvious to him this was the next path.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Tim Tebow, whatever ends up happening, wherever he ends up, you know, he's going to be happy and have a positive attitude. So that's special. But I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina for a summer. I went to a Charlotte Knights game when he was playing. And
right.
Boy, I mean, he plays for the Syracuse Mets, but I've never seen so much orange and blue.
Oh, yeah.
You go to that game, even in Charlotte, you know, there's Florida stuff everywhere. It's crazy to think about. But it's funny, just got on the line with you. And, you know, you can get you can do politics. You can do everything, man. I hear about the pipeline. That's where I got – that's my news source. I'm telling everybody the gas pipeline just got up and running. Like, where you hear that? Oh, Paul Feinbaum show.
Yeah, you know, and I like everybody today, I had to go out and do something early. And I drove by a gas station. I was curious. I mean, if it had not been a long line, yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, because that's really what everyone's talking about. But – as I finished somewhere, I had to go pick something up. I said, no, there's no way. But I you know, people, I don't understand. I guess first of all, if you need gas, you have to get it. Okay. But if you didn't need it, Jason, and I'm where you used to live in Charlotte. And it was, for some reason, this place was harder hit than any other place. Why would you go get gas when you know it's coming in a day or two?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people just overhype and freak out about stuff, and they think, oh, if I get it all, you know, I can make a profit off of it. And you're like, oh, what if it, you know, gets hacked again or whatever. But yeah, I'm glad to hear we'll be up and running soon.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for the call. And hear from you, Jason. All the best to you and your career. And by the way, I'm not being critical. I mean, there are a lot of people out there that need that aren't going to be able to function if they don't pull their truck or car into a gas line, even if it takes 45 minutes. And there was no guarantee it would be up and running. But I do want to stress, because I know a lot of you are out there looking for gas stations, it is back. That doesn't mean that the gas stations will be replenished tomorrow. It will take a few days. Not that I'm an energy reporter. I'm not. I'm just reading what's being disseminated. But probably by this weekend or early next week, it will be business as usual. So I say that to those of you who don't have to have a full tank of gas. I just hate to see, it's disruptive. I was on a major thoroughfare and into a huge shopping mall where the gas station was, and it was taking people 30 or 40 minutes. I finally was able to dart in and out of traffic to get away from there. But that's not easy. I mean, a lot of you are stuck. So anyway, we'll take a break here. You want to give us a ring on your gas experience? Go right ahead. It's 855-242-7285. We'll head down to Baton Rouge in a few minutes. Until then, your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. Another 90 minutes to go, and let's get to the calls. And Christina is in Nashville. Hello, Christina.
Oh, Paul, I am calling you from the pump, and I am.
Oh my goodness! Tell me about it
right now. Sweet, sweet hallelujah! It is $3.45 per gallon, but I am getting gas in my car.
That is against the law. That's ridiculous.
I know. Yesterday was $2.45, so they really jumped up quite a bit.
No, that is criminal. It really is criminal. How long have you been waiting?
Seen the lines. Well, this is the 17th gas station that I have searched for, because I am actually out of gas. But, you know, I waited for about 25 minutes, and here I am. Just put it in my pump.
That is a good feeling, but it's particularly bothersome and why would I be surprised that any company would gouge? Was it a convenience store or a regular filling station or what?
I'm at a twice daily. It's a Shell.
Shell.
So,
okay.
You know, I don't know. Everybody, I guess, go protest Shell.
Well, it wasn't really their fault, but like Yeah,
no,
and maybe
God, no,
and I have
know.
No earthly. I mean, I know nothing about it other than I'll never pass a gas station again with a almost empty tank.
Same, I know. So, you know, thankfully we've got gas here in Nashville.
Well, that's great. Christine, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good one, Paul.
Congratulations. I mean, who would have ever thought? Now, again, if you lived in the 70s, when there was an oil crisis in the world, and a few other times, you'll see it in the aftermath of maybe a natural disaster or a hurricane. But you know what? I didn't see much today. Please, it's not like I combed the country, but what I saw in a fairly short period of time, I saw two or three different gas stations, and it was truly frightening to see the lines. And yeah, I think the biggest mistake politicians make, and I think I saw three or four different governors, we're talking about Southern governors, all say the same thing, all tweet out the same thing: do not panic, don't panic buy. I mean, what, remember this last year? Of course, last year was legitimate. We were in the middle of a global pandemic. Nobody knew what the supply chain was ever going to be. So when they told us not to load up on paper products, that's exactly what we did. But this was never going to be a long-term deal. It might happen again, but most of the people that were in the know said this is probably going to be a short-term situation. But why do we do this? Why do we all go out and do exactly what people tell us not to do? Maybe it's the same way with COVID. Let's continue to get more of your calls with 855-242-7285. And Ken is up next. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Bo. Good to talk to you. I was just wanting to ask you, do you think about the Tim Tebow deal? I believe a lot of that's got to do getting down there. He knowed it would take a lot of pressure off of Trevor Lawrence with the media, where Trevor can, you know, learn the playbook. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right about that. I think Urban, in the back of his mind, knows that he's lived through Tebow before. He's heard all this before, and he knows it will lessen some of the pressure. But ultimately, it won't matter once Trevor hits the practice field. Think about this. All the conversation we've had here and we'll have from now until training camp, but the first weekend of the season, if Trevor goes out there and is terrible and throws three interceptions and the Jags just get destroyed, do you think it's really going to matter what Tim Tebow's doing?
No, it's not. Well, let me ask you one more question. I'll let somebody else get on here. Do you think maybe it's going to open a door for Tim, maybe as an intern or whatever, to be like a strength conditioning coach in the NFL? Or what's your think or beliefs on that?
Yeah, you know, ultimately, I think that is the. I hate to use the word end game about something that I'm not privy to, but I think once Tebow gets inside the locker room again, he is going to realize that's where he belongs. And I don't know. Their first game is going to be at Houston. The Jags' first game is at Houston. I don't know what if he's thought this through 100%. I mean, I really don't. I haven't talked to him in a couple of months. But I think he'll find out that he likes being around, whether it's play. I don't think it has to be playing. I think Urban just knows that's the best way to do it. Is for all the criticism of him never having played the position, imagine if Urban had hired him as the offensive coordinator. The same people would be saying the same thing, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised they ain't done kicking up about stay on table, come back after 8 years, Wayne, Colin Kaepernick, won't they let him back? Yeah.
Oh, some are. Bottom line, if Kaepernick really wanted to play a couple of years ago, someone would have taken him. I mean, everybody was I don't remember exactly what happened, but he could have played.
Absolutely, yeah. I seen the deal he made when he said he was going to try out for everybody, then he went back to he had to have it his way, you know. So
sure.
Exactly. All right, Paul, hey, thank you.
Great to hear from you. The thing that I find most objection is this. And I was with Keyshawn Johnson yesterday, and he said it, and other people have said it. He is taking the spot of someone else. No, he's not. He hasn't made the team yet. He is not taking the spot of anyone. You can have 100 people to your first camp, and that doesn't mean you'll make the team. I mean, remember, Tebow twice already has been cut by various franchises. You know, he was signed by New England. Everybody thought that's the perfect marriage, the understudy to Tom Brady. He got cut. He was signed by Philadelphia. Same thing, got cut. So he has not made this team yet. Now, do we think he's going to make it because of Urban Meyer? Well, sure. But ultimately, Urban has to make a sound decision. If it's a close call, sure, Tebow's going to get the tie is going to be broken in his favor. But if it's not a close call, and if everyone on that, that's when the team gets divided. When Tebow gets the job over someone who's deserving. Right now, it doesn't matter. So, I mean, all these NFL types who are just bellyaching, just You know it better than we do. It's May 12th. Speaking of that, we need to take a break. We hope you'll give us a ring at 855-242-7285, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flail.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
David is up next in Florida as we continue. Hey, David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Paul. We'll talk about Tim Tebow, and I think he'll make the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think we all recognize that there are a lot of talented, I mean, superior athletes that make football teams simply because they're outstanding athletes. So what do you think happens when you're the opposing coach and it's fourth down for the Jacksonville Jaguars and Tim Tebow is the up back? I think that will change the dynamics of the game and probably provide a benefit worth the investment for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So those are my thoughts. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I think he offers so many different gadgets. I think you can't look at this through the prism of being stubborn about it. Hey, thank you for the call. Henry is up next. Good afternoon, Henry.
Good afternoon, Paul. Hey, I was just wondering, is there any chance that this Tebow thing is just taking some pressure and spotlight off of Trevor Lawrence? As weak as that division is, you'd think we'd be talking about Trevor and the Jags, you know, maybe Jen, but I don't know. Just wondering what your thoughts were.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I don't think that's the primary reason, because I just don't think you can think, well, what am I going to do to take pressure off Trevor Lawrence? I'm gonna sign the most polarizing player in modern NFL history, other than maybe Cap. I'm not sure. That depends on your view. But I just think this is something that the day Urban got the job, he thought about, and then, you know, Tebow probably said, I want to think about baseball when he decided against baseball. I think they had a long talk, I'm just guessing. And he said, let's give it a shot. And I think they had a private workout so they didn't embarrass Tebow in case he was a complete disaster. And Urban said today that he really impressed the tight end room. And so here we are. But Tebow knows the reality of I don't think – or you cannot guarantee someone a spot on an NFL roster. So I think it will help Trevor Lawrence, but I don't think that was the initial reason they did it. Thank you for the call. Think about this. This story came out a week and a half ago. We talked about it then. We're talking about it now. He has still not – officially been signed to the team. Now, I don't understand the NFL, you know, what if there's some reason why he hasn't. It's pretty obvious he will be. And I realize the show primarily deals with college football and with a tilt toward the South. But this is being talked about all over. This isn't just an SEC thing or a Jacksonville Jaguars thing. This is one of the bigger stories in sports right now. It may not last, because after a while, there's only so much you can say until it actually happens. But this is a great conversation piece, and there are many, many different opinions, and that's why it is good for programs like this and other programs. We have another hour to go. We'll give you an update on that LSU situation with the Title IX lawsuits, and also the confusion over the provost at South Carolina who left to become the LSU president. Is it possible he's going back to South Carolina because they're going to dump the president? We've talked about that. Plus your phone calls. If you want to get in, good time to do it. We'll get you lined up, and it shouldn't be too long of a wait at 855-242-7285.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.